So this morning's readings are taken from 1 Matthew 14, 22 to 27, and Mark 4, 38 to 41. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went on to a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffed by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And this is the word of the Lord.
Okay, I'm going to take you back to the first slide. The title for today is Storms of Life. None of you have storms in life, do you? All of your lives are so plain sailing and it's lovely. So it's just me this morning. Storms of life. We know that life gets stormy at times. And these two situations, I love the way that there's a difference between these times and the storms. Because in the first one, when Jesus comes and he walks on the water, he speaks to the disciples and he says, "Peace be you. Don't be afraid. I'm here now." In the second one, and this is the one we're really going to look at much more, he actually speaks to the storm and tells the storm to stop. Whichever situation they were in, because Jesus was there, he was able to bring peace. Whether he brought peace to the hearts of the people or whether he brought peace to the situation, to the storm, to calm it, he brought peace. And so I thought about this and thought, well, where do we turn to when the storms of life come? We've already worked out that we all have these issues in our lives where difficulties come. Sometimes the storms are huge, big, raging things that we feel are going to knock us off our feet, like some of the winds we've had over the last few weeks. And you think, I just can't stand against this. Other storms are those ones that everybody always says, you know, it's that rain that goes right through you. It's that small rain, but it just seems to soak through. It's only a little thing, but it drenches you. So sometimes our storms are big, massive things. And other times they're just a pitter-patter. They just really annoy and get us down. But where do we turn to? Who can we trust in these storms? The disciples were challenged. And as I said, we're going to look at this story that's in Mark, really. It's also in Luke, and I think it's in Matthew as well. We're going to look at three things that hopefully you will find helpful today. I found them really helpful. So we're halfway there. And then we're going to look at another passage where it was the similar sort of situations. There was a storm going on, but people reacted differently. And to see if we can learn from that. So we start off in this boat. Jesus has said, we're going to go to the other side. And he goes and lies down and has a rest. And while he's sleeping, this storm starts to kick off. Remember, quite a few of these were fishermen that were in this boat, so it wouldn't be unusual for them to meet these storms. But they were a bit scared. So let's unpack some of what happened. So, they were fearful. And to start with, that fear made them doubt God's care. They doubted what Jesus had said. Verse 38 of Mark 4 says, "Do you not care? Do you not care? we're going to drown here and you're sleeping. They doubted that he didn't care about them. They didn't ask Jesus about his strength. Can you still the storm? Even although they'd seen him heal people, even although they'd seen him stand up to the Pharisees and the other religious leaders, even although they'd followed him when he asked them, they didn't ask about that. They didn't ask him about his know-how. Have you got experience of these storms? Do you understand how they work? They didn't ask him about his, knowledge. Are you aware that there's a storm here? They actually questioned his character. Do you not care? Fear made them question that God cared. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm fearful, my first thought is, God, what are you doing? Don't you care? This is upsetting me. This is hurting me. So fear made them question God's love and his faithfulness to the promises that he'd given. The second thing that it did was fear made them try to take control. Jesus had already said in verse 35, we're going to go to the other side. Steve talked about God giving us promises. And sometimes God's promises, we can't see it, how it's going to happen. And yet he says, this is my promise to you. Think of Abraham and Sarah. I promise you a child. And they go, no way. We're far too old for this. So they then did something to try and make this happen. And the disciples are the same. Jesus has promised they're going to the other side. Yet the storm comes up and they're struggling. So they wake him up and they say, you need to do something. Let's take control of this situation. Let's try and work out what's going on here. You know, when we face times of uncertainty, we might reach for the things that we can control. So things at work, or our diet, or our exercise routine, or something, but something that we have control of. We'll start to do that. I'm not going to share lots about my brother Andrew and all the situation that's going on. But for those who know, and it's been a stormy few weeks, things have been difficult. And one of the days, after visiting in the hospital, I didn't know what to do. And my brother was in a coma. There was no hope of him coming out. And I went home and cleaned. I don't like cleaning. But it was something I could do. It was something I had control over. And one of my dad's neighbours came to visit and he says, oh, I'll leave you to it then. Sometimes we just have to do something. We feel we need to take control of what's happening because we can't control the other things that are outside of us. That storm was too big for these people to cope with. They couldn't stop it. Yeah, there were some of them fishermen, but they still couldn't control it. So they looked to Jesus. You need to do something. And you know, the more insecure we are in a situation, the more uncertain things are, the more controlling we can become. We try to take on board everything and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to sort that. And the hardest thing is to just say, I can't do this. I haven't got the ability to control it. So fear made them try to control what was going on. And in the third one, fear made them forget. What had the disciples seen Jesus do? Think of the passages beforehand in Mark where the leper, the paralyzed man, the words that he said to the Pharisees, the words that he said to them that caused them to follow him. There was something about him that had really captured them. Had they forgotten? Had they forgotten what he'd already done? The storm caused them to forget because of that fear. There's many occasions in the Bible where we're told to remember. I think it's about 121 times in the Old Testament and 70 odd times in the New or something. But we are told to remember or don't forget. Why? Because we forget. We get into a situation and we forget what God has done. We forget how he's taken us, how he's never let us down, how he's always been with us. So fear can make us forget the things that God has done and said, these promises that he gave us. He said to them, we're going to the other side. And they're saying, we're going to drown. We're going to die in the middle of this lake. They'd forgotten that Jesus was the one who kept his promise. But you know, faith doesn't eliminate fear. What it does is it robs fear of its power. Just like that storm when Jesus says, be quiet, and it's stilled. So faith can rob fear of its power. It can silence it. Steve said about God talking in that still, quiet voice. Sometimes the noise around us is so much that we cannot hear what God is saying. And just like Elijah on that mountain and the mouth of the cave, once it quietens down, we start to hear him. That might mean that we need to make time to allow that to happen. We might need to switch things off. We might need to remove ourselves. But what about the sounds that are going on in our head? What about the emotional and mental turmoil that comes? We need God to still that, to speak peace to it, so that we can actually hear him. And faith also makes us draw closer to Jesus. The disciples were busy battling, trying to get the boat going, but they had to go to him as he was asleep at the front of the boat. And they had to say, Jesus, I need your help. And faith does that. It takes us back to where Jesus is. They found that the storm obeyed Jesus and it was silenced. So Jesus was able to bring peace in that situation. But not before those three things had been a struggle for them. So the disciples allowed fear to cloud their view of God and Jesus. They allowed that fear to make them doubt that God cared, to make them try and take control, to make them forget what he'd already done. And I want us to just look in the Old Testament at one of my favourite passages, and those who know me will know it's Daniel 3. So Daniel 3, and looking at Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and what they went through, a bit of a different kind of storm, because it wasn't a storm of water, it was a storm of fire. So Daniel 3, I'm not going to read all of it, because it's quite long, but let me do a little recap, and then I'll tell you the verses that are really the ones that I want us to think about. So Daniel and his three friends had been taken away from Jerusalem as young men. They'd been taken to Babylon and been presented to the king, and they were going to work for him. They decided very early on that they were going to not do the things that the king wanted them to do, really. They weren't going to worship the idols. They weren't going to eat the food that he served. They were still going to stay true to the God that they served. So early on, they were all getting fed to be big, strong men. And Daniel went and said to the man who was feeding them, we don't want to eat this food. We don't want to drink this wine. We don't want any of this. Let us just have vegetables, water, things that are fresh. Nothing that's been presented to the king's table. Because if it's presented to the king's table, it's been presented to idols. So we don't want anything to do with that. And the man who was serving was going, no, I'll get killed if this happens. Because I need you to be strong and big. And so Daniel said, right, I give him a promise. At the end of 10 days, if we're not looking good, you've got a right to then give us the food from the king's table. So very early on in their time in Babylon, they made a choice to stand for the things that they knew to be right, to follow the God that they served, they loved. So a bit later down the line, all four of them are getting quite high up in the king's service, I suppose. And there's this King Nebuchadnezzar who thinks he's a bit great. Daniel had told him a dream that he'd had about this big statue. And actually, this was God warning Nebuchadnezzar. But he took it the wrong way around and he says, oh great, I'm going to build a big statue. So he builds a massive statue of himself. And he tells everybody there's a decree that you must bow down. When you hear the music play, you must bow down to this statue and worship. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, no idea where Daniel was at this point, but the three of them said, well, we can't do that. Because our God says that we will have no other gods before him, that we won't worship idols. So we're not going to do it. So they don't do it. But somebody grasses them up. And somebody goes to the king and says, these three guys are not doing as you've told them to do. You need to do something about it. The punishment for not doing it was to be thrown into a fire, a big, massive furnace. That's what was going to happen. If you did not bow down, that's what was happening. So the verses that are the ones that I really want us to look at are verses 16 to 18, I think it is. So Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. As a 14-year-old, when I heard that for the first time, that blew my mind. Why would people be willing to trust anybody with their life? Why would they be willing to put that much confidence in someone? That whole phrase, our God can, but even if he doesn't, for me is very powerful. And very early on, I think the very first day I found out about my brother Andrew and what had happened, my prayer to God was, I know you can, but even if you don't, I'm still going to worship you. And that wasn't easy. That was said through tears and all of that. I won't go into that because I will. So these three friends, do not fear this man. They will not worship this statue that he set up. And he is furious because he's a bit egotistical, and how dare they? So he sets the fire 7 times hotter than normal. That's how cross he is. He binds them up, gets the soldiers to take them to the furnace. They throw them in, and the people who throw them in get burnt alive. That's how hot it is. So Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are in this fire. And when the king looks through the flames, he then says to the soldiers, there was only three that we put in, wasn't there? Surely there was only three. And they're going, yes, king, I can count four. Actually, not only do I count four, they're walking around. I thought we'd tied them up. And he calls to them and he says, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, come out. And when they come out, they don't even smell of smoke, which is amazing. And you know yourself, if you're around a bonfire, everything stinks of that burning. There's not a smell on them. And they say the other one that was with them was like one like the Son of Man. He was Jesus in the middle of that fire, that storm. So let's look at these three things from these three guys' perspective. First of all, they didn't try and take control. There's our statue and the boys standing up with everybody bowing down. They head into the furnace. They didn't doubt God's care. Our God can. He can do this. We know that he cares about us and he cares for us. He can do this. There was no doubt in their mind that God would look after them. They trusted him, even if they were insecure and a bit unsure about what was going to happen. It doesn't come across in the reading, but I'm sure they must have been scared. There must have been some fear in them. Unless they were superhuman, and I don't think they were. But they were able to trust God, even in this situation that they could not control, that he did care about them. He will rescue us. No doubt about it. They didn't try and take control. Their first statement to the king was, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter to you. We're not even going to try. We're not going to explain it. We're not going to give an excuse. We're just going to work through this. They trusted God in that situation for the outcome, whatever it might be. They didn't forget. They remembered all that God had done in their life since they'd been taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. God had honoured them when they wouldn't eat the food that had been presented to the king's table. They grew stronger than the others. It says that they were 10 times better than the rest of the people around that the king had. They'd become administrators in the province, as I said. God had not abandoned them or forgotten them. And they'd never abandoned or forgotten God. The song that we sometimes sing here, Oceans, we sang last week. There's a phrase in it that says, you've never failed and you won't start now. And it's that understanding that God will not fail us. Even if it feels, how can this happen? How is this going to work? He says he's not failed, so he's not going to start. That was very much how these guys lived their life, trusting what God had done. No matter the situations, no matter what others might say, no matter what others might do to them. Now, in our country, we are very fortunate. We don't have persecution and all of the troubles, but it doesn't take much to look at the news and see the kind of things that happen to people all over the world and to see things that happen to people because they're Christians, because they stand up for Jesus. So let's not forget that standing for God sometimes will bring trouble. But he says he will be with them, and he was. So this has always been a challenge to me. That phrase, my God can, but even if he doesn't. It's understanding that God is the one who is able to do above and beyond what we can ask for or imagine. That he will take us through these storms, whatever they're like, whether the big, huge, raging ones or the little, dribbly ones that wet us. Whatever kind of storm we might face, he will be there. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean that life is always easy and happy. But like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, I'm learning to trust the one who has never let me down. It's a process. I'm still learning. Things don't always go the way that I want, but as I say, I'm learning to trust God. Sometimes we pray and things happen. And there is a miracle in Andrew's life. He is still here. He shouldn't be. But there are other people that I've prayed for, and they're not here anymore. I don't understand it, but I have to trust God for that bigger picture. Some people, we pray and the storms in their life just keep going. The situations don't seem to change. And we need to pray, Jesus, will you speak peace to their hearts? If the situation's not going to change, will you bring peace to them? For others, it will be that the situations will change. But we have to trust God in what he's doing. So when the storms of life come, and they will come, they probably all have come, lots of them, but there'll be many more for us. Let's remember Jesus' promise that he will be with us, and he does care. We can find peace even in the storm, and we don't need to take back control. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Let's remember all the promises of God to us and trust in his faithfulness to keep these promises. I've shared this before from Psalm 23, and it's something that just struck me. And most people will know Psalm 23 of the Lord is my shepherd. But this is a modern writing on it where it says, the Lord is my lighthouse, and I shall not lose my course. He shows me the deep channel and guides me into safe harbour, where repairs are made to my hull. The Lord does this, it befits his name. Though I sail past the horizon, I fear no storm. I remember your goodness, the memory of your guidance. I keep them close. When I return to your shores, there is a clear beacon, a sure light spread before me, illumination to grace my path. Only for your brilliance will I look all the days of my life, and as long as I may sail, I shall return to this alcove. The Lord is my lighthouse. Maybe today you need God not to be your shepherd, but to be your lighthouse. Maybe life is stormy and you need that clear path shown. Remember, Jesus brings peace either to the person or to the situation. He is able. He is able. So whatever we face in life, God can and will bring about the best that's going to be happening. It doesn't always mean it's the nicest way. Life at times is rubbish and tough. But Jesus' promise isn't an easy life. Jesus' promise is he will be with us, whether it's in that storm, whether it's in that fire, he will be right there in the middle. When we sing Oceans, the very first line of Oceans says, you call me out across the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. You call me out. Jesus took the disciples in that boat. He said, we're going to that side. He knew the storms were coming, but he was with them. When God calls us into a situation, he says, I'm with you and I will equip you. I want to sing you a song that it's not a Christian song, but it's a song that's in the charts. And when I first heard it, I just thought, the words of this is amazing. Now, although it's talking about, it's called Carry You Home. And though it's talking about people being there for each other, and that is great. And I'm so grateful for the way that people here and lots of other places were praying for us over these last few weeks. It made a difference, a big difference. But you know what? I let people down. You might let people down too. We do our best to try not to let each other down. So this song is written from a person to person saying, I'll be there for you and I'll do all of this. But actually, I'd like you to think about it as God speaking to you this morning and saying, I'll be there for you. And his promises are never going to let us down.